Welcome back.
I'm Keith. Hello. I'm Mike.
That's Charles in Charge on the Wheels of Steel. Oh, dude, what?
It's good.
It's my only fucking...
The Wheels of Steel. It's so good.
Dude, it's the only thing I bring to the table is a few one-liners. That's about it.
I think you know that's not true. Where is Danny?
Danny's at Training Mate, which is an Australian workout thing that a bunch of our friends are doing.
Yeah.
And
he said he's
like,
been going like 5 days a week.
Danny, you're doing great, mate. Yeah, keep it going. Do a couple more push-ups. That doesn't sound Australian, but you get the idea.
That's not an ab.
Yeah. That's not an ab.
No, it's not an ab. Yeah, he says it's pretty incredible. He said they have theme classes, and one of them's called the Thunder Down Under.
Yeah, they do.
That's a butt and thigh workout.
It's also on like Santa Monica and Fairfax. Or
I should do that. Because I've been trying to get my ass bigger. I do want it bigger. I want it so big that I can barely get into the office.
Like a photo finish of the Hindenburg race?
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Too.
Exactly. What do we got? This episode, brother, is sweet talking.
This episode's about interactions with the police.
Yes, that's right. Law enforcement.
Yeah. We have one from... Gabby talking her way out of an arrest. Mike.
Yeah.
Actually getting, well.
No, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I get popped, but then,
Rochambeau's
yeah. on you. Yeah.
Little shifty shells. shifted his way out of it. I wish I had that fucking luck. I never got out. I have one of mistaken identity.
Oh, that's right. And doing something. You can't say that there aren't some good stories that come out of this. You did a very stand-up thing for somebody and a good deed, and that's got to be worth something.
He was stoked.
Yeah. I fucking
actually,
imagine.
I was stoked. Fuck, I would have done a year flat, but I only do 9 days.
9 days.
I can do 9 days staying on my head, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. The way I looked when you'll hear during the Dewey story, I think it was sheer terror and pity that got me, just the terror in my eyes and the pity, the sounds. I don't know if I could do 9 minutes. We talk about Joe T's, one of my favorite places. I was like the fucking public library for me for one point in the
late
early
night
90s.
Love stories.
Late night talk shows.
Yeah. Mike's relationship with cocaine.
1-800-976. Sweet action. take your SAG card with you. That's one thing. Always take, when you're going out to do drugs, take your SAG card with you.
When it's cocaine, it's a SAG card. When it was methamphetamine, it's a Blockbuster card.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
That's why my buddy Joe calls it tow truck. He calls speed tow truck. He goes, man, I was all fucked up on that tow truck. I go, tow truck? He goes, yeah. He goes, you know. I go, why the fuck you call it that? He goes, you know, it's fucking tow truck driver drug. He goes, you know, smash it up on a cassette, scrape it off with a Blockbuster card.
Oh, that's so good. On a cassette. Yeah.
Dude.
On a cassette.
Fuck.
And then cars in Paramount.
Oh, right. My short-lived assistance to a biker who thought he was a mechanic. Mechanics in Paramount. I was by Paramount the other day. It's funny.
I love how all of them have such noble names.
Yeah, Paramount.
Paramount. Sounds like only good things will happen there. Not the studio.
You never, ever, like, none of these drugs, you know, lead you to a yacht or a mansion.
No, you know what I mean?
Like, it's weird. You always end up asked out, like at a house running on a generator. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of shit. It's always fucking... I think that's why I'd be so relieved when I got busted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like... You know what I mean? Because it's not like you're taking my fucking Porsche away or anything.
Yeah.
I was just like, fuck. I mean, it's kind of a better lifestyle to be in jail than...
Well, that's what Danny said once. It was just that, you know, he was just giddy finally once when he was, it was like a relief. He was like, finally, I'm not just, I'm not just wilding. Like, I can go someplace, get some sleep, get some food, just
Hot meal,
a hot meal, and you're and then what? I think he got, it was a drag, like, right, he showed up and like he didn't even have a pillow or something like that, and they gave him some, I don't know what, a piece of cheese, and he's like, damn it.
I think he got a burrito when he had said, yeah. I was listening to that episode and I was like, fuck it. They didn't have them burrito. When I was there, it was this, it's a bologna sandwich,
mm-hmm.
and it's two pieces of bread with a piece of meat and a slice of cheese and then like a packet of mustard sitting on top of it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's, but it's very moist. You know, the bread's very mm-hmm, moist. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's like, you got to be very gentle peeling it apart. It's pretty fucking nasty, you know?
Yeah.
The county jail in general, like, is that, man, like, if you go to the LA County Jail once and you don't learn, you're a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the worst place I've ever been. I hate it.
Yeah. No, that's what I was saying. It's like, even being just like outside the door and just hearing the just screaming.
Yeah.
The screaming. I was like, what the fuck is in there, man? And I'll do anything I can do to get out of, to not go in there. Like, you start thinking some crazy thoughts. I was just like, okay, if I cut my legs off right now with this chair, I can maybe just make it to the door, and then they'd maybe get some EMTs over here before I bled out. But yeah, no, creepy.
I mean, because a lot of the people are mentally ill, you know what I mean? So that's like a lot of the screaming and shit. And you know, when you initially enter, they're, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a potpourri of humans, you know? It's fucked up.
Yeah. Well, you'll learn about all this and more tonight on our episode of It's All Bad.
Yep. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, and let's jump in.
Simple.
Yeah.
I've got a quick story. I think it's a quick story. So I'm 18. I have no driver's license. I had started driving when I was like 12 or 13. I got arrested, DUI, before I even had a license. And so they suspended it and then they revoked it. By the time I was 18, it was revoked. So, but I still had a car. I live in LA. You can't expect me to not have a car. So I leave this bar, the Firefly, and my car is trashed. It's just, it doesn't even matter. But I make a U-turn on Vine and I promptly get pulled over. And these cops, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and these policemen arrest me. They run my name and everything. I have no license. I have no registration. I've got warrants. Actually, I don't know if I had any warrants, but so they arrest me and I'm drunk, and sometimes I can be very personable. So they drive me by the time I start chatting with them, I'm talking and we're having a really nice time, actually. By the time they drive me from Vine in Hollywood to the Wilcox police station, I have convinced them that this was a terrible mistake, even though I have no license or anything. And I get arrested, and the cops who arrested me bailed me out that night. If I had gone to see the judge in the morning,
that's pretty impressive.
It was $100. This is, you know, in the '80s, but it was $100 was my bail to get out that night, you know, to get OR'd or whatever. Because if I saw the judge the next morning, then I was going to get a big problem, because I had all these warrants and drunk and driving a suspended license or a revoked license. So the cops felt so badly for me. They bailed me out. They didn't even have my car towed. So I walked from Wilcox, from the police station back to Hollywood Boulevard, and probably about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I drove home.
Oh, I wish I had cop stories like that.
Yeah.
All my cop stories involve, I always tried to joke with them. I remember always thinking that was the right move. Like, if I like cracked.
Oh, yeah, they love that.
It was not the right move. I'll, most of my cop stories involve that same station.
Oh, yeah.
You know the station.
Yeah. Home sweet home.
Oh, yeah.
Although they, I've only went there once because normally I had to go to Van Nuys because there, you know, there's no women's holding at Wilcox.
Yeah.
So they had just left me.
At this point.
Oh, maybe. But this was, they just handcuffed me to the bench out front and, or in the, you know, the little area.
I've gotten,
the lounge.
I've gotten high in that like bathroom in the waiting room at the fucking Wilcox station. When I was like waiting for a friend.
That's very smooth. That's a good, very safe.
I'm like, oh yeah, they're not going to look for me here. We were waiting to bail out a friend and it was like, you know, it takes a while, you know, can't just show, it doesn't matter how, you know, but they have all the bail bondsmen like right across the street, you know, like spitting distance. And we were waiting for him to get out. Like we paid the bail and then we're waiting for him and I just had to get one in, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, there's a bathroom.
Nature
here.
Calls.
Yeah. I used to use the, you know, in the in supermarkets they have the like check your like heart rate.
Yeah.
Use the monitors at the pharmacies. Yeah. I would use those to find veins. I would just go in and like
that's very MacGyver of you.
Yeah, I was like, what can I use? Like,
wow,
that's amazing.
It worked well every time until I found veins left in there. But I remember trying to joke with a cop once in county, and those sheriff's deputies are like,
they're not,
he chokeslammed me because I wasn't even trying to joke. I guess it could be considered smart ass, but like they were talking about some TV show or something like that. And I was in the lineup and I just happened to overhear it. And I knew the like actor's name they were trying to remember. And I was like, oh, you know, it's like so-and-so, Tom Hanks or whatever, whoever it was. And he did not take kindly to me, like helping him out, remembering this actor. And just, man, I didn't joke with cops after that. It was like the last time.
Have I told my county jail story about when I used someone else's name?
Oh, I've done that.
Fuck it. I have a county jail story. So I've been in and out of the LA County Jail, I don't know, 30 times probably. But so anyway, I don't know if it's just the amount of cops and, you know, there's a lot of them from everywhere. But there was like a decent handful of cops that were like, one was my friend in junior high school, David.
That's
lucky. No last name.
Yeah, I was going to say his last David. Name. He's actually a great human being. But anyway, I would, you know, he would be on the 4,000 floor, which a lot of time you would travel through there to get to the other things.
Yeah.
And dude, it was so sad. I mean, because he genuinely, like, those cops are gnarly there. And he genuinely, like, fucking, he was just bummed. You know, we were friends as kids, you know. And he'd see me. And usually I was trying to catch his attention. You know, I mean, I wasn't saying anything, but I'd be looking so I could catch his eyes. And he come up, dude, it was fucking humiliating. He just like grabbed my wrist and looked at the thing. God damn it. You know, because they automatically, you know, they're like, the minute they're like, come here, O'Neal, they look at your bracelet out of habit. Everybody, they'll grab your wrist and look at the bracelet, you know, and your name and shit. So I always wanted Dave to see me because I'd always be like, hey, could you send me to Max East? You know, like where I'd like to do time, you know what I mean? And he would always, you know, like usually get me there. But
my jail preference.
Yeah. Yeah. Wayside Max East as opposed to Supermax, which is a more modern building.
What I'd like.
But he, anyway, so I couldn't even tell you how many times, four or five times I'd see him. And he would just fucking get so butt. Like, God damn it, Keith, man, when are you going to fucking stop this shit? So you got to get your fucking life together. I mean, you know, this is like months and years apart. And he'd get so fucking disappointed. It was sad, man. But anyway, so. One time, me and Anthony and my friend Tom Berry were in Anthony's garage, and we were high on speed, but, like, I know I had a very small bag of speed, like a quarter gram or something, but I had such a small amount, it's when you're telling everybody, like, I ain't got nothing. You got anything? Yeah. It's one of those. You know what I mean? Like, a little holding out.
This is my personal speed.
We're all high, but we're in Anthony's garage, and the garage door is broken. So it's a pull-up garage door, right? It's like on the front of an apartment building, you know, like where there's four up front or whatever. So, but we're in the garage, but the garage door the spring's broken. So when it's open, it's only about 2 feet open, but you can close it all the way. You know what I mean? But when you open it, it's only about 2 feet high.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're in there and we're doing whatever, fucking looking at shiny shit and, you know what I mean? Fucking with bicycles, I'm sure, whatever. And all of a sudden I see a pair of black Doc Martens but they're new Doc Martens. You know what I mean? They were like brand new, which I didn't know anybody who had brand new ones. It's like that, you know, from our time, like nobody had brand new ones. And I see these Doc Martens, the guy's like, hey, is Dave here? And I'm like, there ain't nobody named Dave here. Hey, is David here? And I go, there's nobody named Dave here. The door comes up and it's this dude. He kind of looked like Willie Ames. He's in regular clothes, but he has a gun. I thought we were getting robbed, but he comes in. He's like, don't fucking move. Covina police. And I'm like, fuck. And about a few beats later, in walks this other cop, like blonde haired dude, who's probably like 35. He walks in. He's like, I'm Vic Lupo. But his fucking pupils are huge. You know what I mean? And he's zipping everywhere and shit. Now, cut back a few weeks prior, everybody was kind of, you know, there's like always some drug cop everybody's paranoid of. Everybody was paranoid of this cop, Lupo, and everybody would be talking about it all the time. A couple weeks before this happened, because, you know, I mean, I'm in and out of prison. I always get busted. I've never even been questioned by that dude or anything. I've never seen him. So a few weeks before, we're in this tweaker house and people are fucking talking. And I just got sick of it. I go, man, I call bullshit. And they're like, what? I go, have you been busted by him? No. Have you? No. And I go, well, I haven't. And I get busted all the fucking time, you know?
Thanks, man.
And I go, yeah. That motherfucker's, he might as well be Bigfoot. I don't buy it. I think it's bullshit.
It's like Bloody Mary, you say his name.
But I literally was 100% convinced it was a wives' tale. I'm like, this motherfucker don't exist, amazing. Right? Cut to 3 weeks later. You know, this is after years
like,
of hearing
I'm real.
Yeah. So
the tweaker boogeyman.
There's two cops and three of us, right?
Right.
And they have us all hemmed up. So Anthony's in the back of the garage. I'm at the garage door. And they have Tom down at the end of the driveway because they're going back between us. And they go, what's your name? And I'm on parole. I have a parolee at large, you know, warrant. So I'm like, fuck. Because, you know, I was on the SSU parole. So any cop contact, you automatically just go do a year in prison. That's it. There's no, it's 365 days.
You know, they just like say hi to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but
they touch you.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to court or anything. You're doing a year flat parole violation. So oof. I'm standing there and I'm like, fuck, I'm trying to think of somebody I know who's not in trouble. Cause I don't have anything on me. You know, and I'm like, maybe they'll just let us go. Cause we're loaded or whatever.
No.
So I remember my friend, Tim Snyder, and my best friend from high school. And I'm like, fuck Tim, you know, cause he moved to San Diego and shit. I'm like, he's in the clear. So they go, what's your, and I knew his birthday and shit, right? They go, what's your name? I said, Tim Snyder. You go, okay, what's your birthday? And I'm like, July 3rd, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay. So then there's two cops shifting back and forth. So one of them's talking to Anthony. Then the younger one goes down, is talking to Tom at the end of the driveway. And I fucking hear Tom go, oh, I was just hanging out with Keith and Anthony. I'm like, fuck. So they're already running this name, Tim Snyder, in Anthony's name, but they come back up. And I'm telling you, the Lupo cop, I'm looking at Anthony, and I'm like mouthing to him. I'm like, that motherfucker's loaded. Look at him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, that guy ain't right. That fucking, look at him. And Anthony's like, shut. I'm like, look, you know, because he's talking to him. I'm like, because I have my hands up and shit, but I'm like.
It should be your attorney.
Yeah. But I got my hands up and I'm like, you know, my hands up. But the minute the cops aren't looking, I keep telling Anthony, I'm like, look at his fucking pupils. I'm like, he's fucking spackled, right? And he's zipping everywhere, this cop. And the cop's talking to me. The young cop walks up because Tom just said my name was Keith. And the young cop walks up and he looks at me and goes, wait a minute here. He goes, why are you saying your name's Tim and he's calling you Keith? And I'm like, fuck. I go, well, because we have another friend named Tim. So I just go by my middle name. I'm just like, whatever. You know, trying to come up. But I'm like, I go, so I go, yeah, I go, you know, so they call me by my middle name. Right then I hear the walkie-talkie go off and it goes, Mr. Snyder has a $70,000 warrant out of San Diego County. I'm like, fuck. So, and then Anthony has a warrant. Tom, all of us go, right? Me and Anthony are in the car and Anthony's like, he's like, fuck it, you're going under Tim. What the fuck is it? We're both like, what the fuck does Tim have a warrant for? Like, he's a good dude. He shapes surfboard. Like, he don't get in trouble, you know? And I'm like, fuck, I don't know, man. He goes, you gonna tell me your name? I'm like, fuck, man. I'm like, I'm going to fucking see what happens. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Depending,
you know, like,
on the charges.
Yeah. And I'm like, because the most they can, what are they going to do? Charge me for lying to a cop? It's a misdemeanor. It carries less than a year. I mean, I'm going to do a year no matter. I'm going to do a year no matter what, whether they catch me or not. But I'm like, you know, I mean, I've been fingerprinted since I was 14 years old. I've been being fingerprinted by cops. Like, fuck, 50 times probably. So they take us to the county and then, but remember, so we get in the county and we're in Covina jail. We go to the county, but you know, you have this wristband, right? And it has your name. Well, mine says Snyder. And I'm like trying to concentrate, right? Cause I'm like, fuck. Cause you know, when they call your name, like Snyder 1-4, you know, and I'm like, several times they'd be like, Snyder. I'm like, oh yeah. Oh shit. Yeah, that's me over here, you know? So now I'm in the 4,000 floor, right? Where I always run into Dave, right? The cop I grew up with.
Yeah.
And I fucking see him and I'm like, fuck. And I turn and I'm just facing the wall. Because I'm like, he's going to look at the bracelet, see it says Snyder, and I'm fucked. You know, and there's, you know, I mean, he's whatever. He's doing his job. So I fucking avoid him and shit. And they send us, but they send us to Medium South, like this like dorm thing, which is like kind of sweet, which I didn't qualify for. It's like a low offender thing. So I go down there and I take that back. We went to like minimum, right? Like the minimum security, the green jumpsuits.
Placement jail.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's like, you know, trustee. Yeah, yeah, it was just like fences and shit. There's no like walls. Yeah. And, so we're down there and shit. And, you know, you're running into your homies and shit, all your buddies that you've done time with. They're like, damn, who's Snyder, fool? You know, all that shit. I'm like, skill game. You know, I'm like, they're like, fuck. So it became this great soap opera. Everybody's like, fuck, Lugnut's crazy. Hey, he's fucking, you know, like. So I go to court, which, you know, like I get up, I get sent to court at the West Covina Courthouse. And I have no idea what this fucking warrant's for, right? But I'm in court and I'm sitting there with this public defender or whatever. And the judge has this look on his face like I've never seen. He's baffled. Like, what the fuck happened, right? He goes, Mr. Snyder, I mean, what happened? You were making your payments on time. What's going on? And I go, I fell on hard times. He goes, all right, well, I can release you and you can just go back to making the payments. Just don't miss them again, right? He goes, or you could do the time. And he sets the folder over there. And I'm like, it's my buddy. I'm like, fuck it. So I tell the lawyer, I go, ask him how much time it is, right?
Yeah.
And the lawyer's like, what? And I go, fuck, ask him how much time it is. He's like, are you crazy? He goes, he's going to let you go. I go, just ask him how much time it is. So he goes, Your Honor, he'd like to know. And the judge is literally like, what? It's going to be 30 days. And I tell the lawyer, I go, I'll take the 30 days, right?
Aww.
So I take the 30 days.
Sweetheart.
I take the 30 days, which it didn't even matter. If I took a year, I'd only do 4 months. You know what I mean? It's like, that shit ain't nothing to me, right? So I go back to the minimum. I swear to God, I come, you know, the bus drops you off. You get on chain. I go back to the minimum. I come on like every SA and white dude's like, what happened, eh? You know, like 30 days. And everybody's like, yeah. Like, shit. Like, so I fucking do 8 days off the 30. But, you know, the whole time I'm like, fuck, they're going to catch me. Because, you know, when you get out of the county, you end up, you go in these fucking like catacombs in the basement. Yeah. It's fucking fucked up, and you can be there for 24 or 40 hours, like
it's cold.
And you just, the cop will come every few hours or every hour or whatever, and he's like, all right, listen up. And you're just praying they fucking call your name because you're getting really, you know what I mean? And
it's worse than being in the general population.
It's fucking awful. Like, yeah. So eventually you get to this big white room, right? And this big white room, there's like fucking 40 people in there, and there's a cop in the window by this door, and the door's like, you know, like hydraulic, so it's like he'll just, he's sitting there looking at files and looking at everybody in the fucking thing. You know what I mean? So for all the years, everybody's like, oh, that's when they're running your fingerprints. You know what I mean? And I'm like, fuck. You know what I mean? I'm just waiting. I'm like, they're going to fucking get me. And they go and they check everybody's file. And all of a sudden that door fucking just pops. Pop! And we all fucking leave. And I'm like, fuck. I can't fucking believe it. And then I'm like paranoid. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, they have my fucking finger. That means they didn't run fingerprints. That guaranteed. That's proof right there. They didn't run anybody's because they've got mine several times. But I get out and there's like the payphones, you know, at the end of the block on Bache Street. Mm-hmm. I go to those. I call somebody from Covina. I go, hey, you got to come pick me up. I hang up the phone. I call Tim. I'm like, yo, quit making payments on that shit. I just did the time for you. And I was such a piece of shit that he wasn't even shocked. He's like, oh, thanks, man. You good? I'm like, I'm good. That was the end of it.
What was it for?
Did it was ever a drunk driving that he had. That he got a drunk driving in Covina. And what happened is, like, you know, that he got some kind of diversion where he paid like $80 a month or something, you know. And he had been making them on time. I guess he just missed one. So it turned into a warrant.
So wait, they give you, if it's going to be a $70,000, right? $70,000 bail.
Yeah.
I mean, you pay, you chip away at that at $80 a show.
No.
But that's the bail. That's not the bail.
That doesn't have anything to do with
the charge. DUI is like $10,000. Yeah, usually, around there, $15,000.
So you're not paying the $70,000 bail.
No.
You're paying on the actual fine.
Restitution on the fine.
Yeah, it's probably like $2,500, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever.
Mine was 10 $1,000 or something. But I got second offender program because I was under 21. I totaled the car and it was like, I blew like a .24. So they were like, I've told the story. I think Danny's right. The cops caught me pissing on the center
fucking
divider.
.24?
You're like, I was hammered. It was all Southern Comfort. I was like pounding Southern in some like punk house in
I
Sun
love
Valley.
Love Southern Comfort.
You just chug it.
But goddamn, .24. You're like point Barry Bonds of drinking.
Yeah, and those were cops I was trying to joke with too. I was trying to joke with them in the emergency room. I was handcuffed to the chair and they were not having it. The nurse was like so mean to me because there's people in there like in pain, suffering, like come in for real stuff, and I'm like, I just like wrecked my car, man. Like, you know, I guess
it was such a .2 is that strong?
That's strong. Because 0.08 is the like legal limit.
Yeah.
But since I was under 21, it was zero tolerance, so that even added. So it was a 9-month program, like year. Oh. Then I moved to New York because I was like, I don't need a license.
And that
I
place, got into that LA County. I had a night that reminds me of something here. I had a night once, and this is New Year's. This is how I rang in 2000, and it wasn't a big, even eventful night. It was just a long, protracted, shitty ending. And I was at the Ye Rustic. What's that other place? The Roost. Which is just fucking the winner's machine. Circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right there. Now it's sort of, you know,
it's gentrified.
It's I mean, which is even more of a bummer in a totally different way. But then it was fucking bleak. And there was an old dude who used to work there and just yell at this gal who used to work there. And I think they had had some sort of agreement inked in a foreign land, and he was really mean to her, and I was such a degenerate that somehow she got a hold of my number and called me, and I was like, I must have in the state of sometime thought that was a really good idea. One day at 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a call from Mike, it's Kai or whatever, and I was like, So our lives were so great. We were doing New Year's Eve parties at the Roost, white tie, and we go, and I'm doing, I'd done some coke, and there was some speed there, and there was a lot of booze, and I must have had it. I had a lot of gin and tonics, and it was foolish. So I got behind the wheel, of course, which just, amazes me that I thought about it, but I that I even was able to find my car. It was definitely in a different place. But by the time I got back to Koreatown, I felt like things were coming along pretty well. I thought I was probably maybe going to get lucky with a space. I wouldn't have to actually go pay for the lot, and I, and then the lights behind me, and I'm like, and I was really, I remember being totally astonished, like almost like ready to be like that guy. I was like, what the fuck? Like, what am I doing? I'm driving fine without my lights on.
and backwards.
So they get me out. They see, they see me, and I'm, dressed up for New Year's Eve and whatever. Like I was dressed nicely, and they're like, "Who's this strange sea captain?" They were like, "Oh, all right, hey," and they were very sweet about things, and they're like, "Listen, where are you coming from? Da, 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 da. Well, your problem is you were driving with your lights off." And I was like, "Oh, well, it's so bright around here. The lights, it's so great LA system. You got it going on here, And so they say they're going to need to give me a field sobriety test. And I was like, I'm going to fucking fail this immediately. And I did shockingly well. Like they made me walk the line. I did that. I did this. But it was following direction. It was like literally the last test they gave me. I'd passed everything. And they told me that. Like, he was so disappointed at me. He looked at me and he said, "What's the matter with you? Like, you look like a normal person. What's wrong with you?" And I was like, and they've gone and frisked me. Unfortunately, I didn't have any hard drugs on me, but they found my one hitter. And I seriously pulled out. I can't believe I said this. Like, I was
in 2000, I was a 32-year-old man. And I was like, oh, that's not mine. like a fourth grader. I don't know where that came from. My friend gave me that, and I smoked some of them 6 to 7 hours ago, and I don't know where that. It was so pathetic, and they were just like, "Oh God, you're such a tool." So it's the last thing he tells me to put my finger on my nose, and then he tells me to remove it, and it was, and I didn't remove it immediately, like fast enough. I kind of wound up dropping it as we continued the conversation because I was jazzed up. I was looking at chat, you know, and so he's like, well, he said, well, you failed the last part of the test, and I was like, ah, crap, and he's like, so, he's like, we're gonna have to take the breathalyzer, and I was like, the thing about that is that I was just thinking in my head, I'm like, oh my God. And I do have a strong, I've always had like a very, you know, just, I guess just a turtle's metabolism. So it's, whatever it is that I can really pour it, you know, I have a pretty good tolerance. And so I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. You know, this is going to be bad. Like if they're going to take this test, it's going to be like 10 drinks, you know, and like that's not gonna, they're gonna, I'm gonna hit a 2.2, you know, like, right. And then they get fucking upset, you know, and so I was like, ah, crap. So I said, you know, I really would rather not take the test in, you know, and I hadn't done this before. I don't know how, but I hadn't. And I said, I'd really rather not take the test here on the site, because I've heard that it's not as reliable and everything else, and because it was the only thing that I had heard. I'd read something that was like, if you get popped, buy as much time as you can between the bottle and the blower, right? And so I was like, all right, well, this may buy me like another hour and a half of processing, and maybe I can just, you know, I don't know, just piss my pants and just get it out or whatever. So I'm like, we'll just figure this out, and then we'll go downtown. And I'm like, I'm thinking, well, do I want them to do blood? Is that going to be, no, that's the worst, that's the most accurate. So the guys, the mood that, once I say that I'm not doing it on site, the tenor of the conversation immediately changes, and I am, you know, I'm in, then immediately, almost immediately in handcuffs, and I was like, and it's an interesting feeling, you know, I'm you know, unlike a lot of the folks who come on the show, and I'm happy to admit it, and listen, I've worked for corrupt politicians, I've done plenty of bad things, but I, not necessarily in politics, but I've done plenty of bad things, and
just to clarify that. Yes.
Well, you know, statutes of limit, I don't know. Some of those, yeah, anyway, I never went away, that's, it wasn't me. So, but I'd never had cuffs on me before, and that's a fucking unique feeling. And I felt like that was like, whenever anybody is like, why would you run? I'm like, then you've never had it. Because your first feeling is like, I got to get the fuck out of here. Like, I got to get somewhere and get these off me. Like, that's my first, you know, thankfully I didn't respond to my very first feeling, but I was like, oh God, this is okay. Wait, I'm not free. This is not like, I can't do what I got to do. I can't just walk away. And I was like, fuck, you have fucked up, Magoo. You know? Like, this is not cool. And so, and they can see how just fucking shook I am at this point. And it just gets better as we go downtown, because as you mentioned, this is what reminded me, it was like, LA County's no fucking joke. And even if you don't get all the way into the cell, like, you can hear the screaming from the fucking lobby, and it is such a bummer. Like, and this was a full-on Sunday night of New Year's Eve weekend, so people were, they were going for it, you know. And I was like, oh God, I'm like, is this the right room? Is this the room where you're trying to scare me? Because I am nervous, and I'm looking down. I'm looking at like my Gucci loafers, and I'm looking at my brown suede jacket, and I'm like, oh. Fuck this tonight. I'm going to have to fight for my life, and they're going to kill me. I'm going to get stabbed in the neck 18 times. And I was like, you'll be fine. Just like, stay awake. Don't fucking fall. Rah, rah, you know, just don't look at anybody. Just whatever. And
Don't look at anyone.
Don't look at anyone. Just stare down. Stare down like a child. And so we go in and whatever, and they give me the breathalyzer. They've confiscated, they take everything from me. You know, I have my pockets and whatever else. And then they take the breathalyzer, and the cop looks at me just incredulously, and he was like, "Well, those had to be a big two glasses of wine. You've blown a .04. He's like, "So
whoa.
I think you've probably had a little bit more than just wine." And I was like, .04 is, I'm like, .08 is the limit. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, well.
Look at that.
Get these off. And he took them off. And I remember and when I was driving in, the guy said to me, it was so good. The guy, the desk sergeant, and it's just like, it also struck me. I'm like, God, this would be just so different if I didn't look this way, and just such a different fucking experience. And the guy, the desk sarge or whoever it was out there, and he leans in the window. He's like, "How's it going tonight, son? Happy New Year." And I'm like, "Not so great. We're not too, so far 2000's not looking too good." And the new millennium is not looking up. And so we get inside, and that all goes on, and I'm sitting there. And I'm just like, all right, I guess. And he's like, "You can go." He's like, "Go out this way. And there's payphones." And I said, "Okay, cool." And the cop literally turns to me. Hopefully this doesn't get me in trouble. But anyway, I'm not saying who it was. Some cop, I don't remember who it was, turns to me and he's like, "Oh," and he throws me. It's like a fucking Rosie Grier moment or something, you know? And he throws me my pipe. He tosses me my one hitter, my bullet one hitter. And I was like, oh no, you can still hit. He's like, "We don't confiscate personal property." And I was like, in my mind, I was like, "No, but you do." I know you do. But you're really, I was like, "Jiminy Christmas, this is amazing." And I was like, "Thanks so much." And I walked out of there and I was like, God.
I can't even imagine what it feels like.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Yeah, the ending, I know. The ending went in my favor. I stuck the landing on that one. Yeah. It didn't.
The breathalyzer had like a Y2K glitch.
Yeah.
You got lucky.
I never thought of it. It did. Straight up Y2K. I forgot that.
So my name is Gabby, right? And so because of that, I've spent a long time trying to live up to that name. But my husband at the time, my ex-husband, we had both gone to rehab. And while he was in rehab, he met a guy named Whitey. And Whitey was a speed dealer who lived in Paramount. And he had a full chop shop set up. And do you know him?
I know Whitey. Okay. At that place, Woodworks.
Yes.
There's a bunch of cars there.
Yes.
I was there.
Yes. Yes. So Whitey was a white dude, and he was friends with a lot of white enthusiasts who,
yes,
you know, who had a crystal meth habit.
Oh, so
you,
yes.
And I'm a very liberal person, right? Even high, I'm very equality minded. So Steve and I went down there. That was my husband at the time, and Steve had befriended this guy. He's like, "Look, if we can get in with this guy, we can do really well. He's going to bring me into a speed dealing operation. It's really a growth opportunity." And he really wanted to impress this guy. And he, you know, he can really help us out here with Steve's aspirations to become a drug dealer. And, you know, I want to be supportive. So we go to Whitey's house and we sort of hit it off. I hit it off with him and we're doing speed and we're there for a couple of days and we're not leaving. And people are coming over and there's a lot of Aryan Brotherhood mean bikers, and we're all sitting around doing a lot of speed, and I start talking, right? And I start and I can't seem to stop, and we start talking about politics and racism. And I spent the next 2 hours convincing all these Aryan Brotherhood dudes why they should not be racist. And my ex-husband was white as a ghost. He thought, "They are going to kill us. They're going to take us outside because you're a lover of the ethnicities. They're going to kill us. But I did. I think I actually convinced one of them to change his ways. The power of positive thinking.
Was it Keith? Yeah, no, we ended up staying
so that Whitey ended up developing some sort of weird affinity for me. We're friends on Facebook to this day. It wasn't like a crush. I don't know what it was, but he got super codependent with me and sort of kicked Steve out of the inner circle. And I hung out with all these speed dealers in this chop shop in Paramount, and Whitey was selling pounds of speed. And I'm in Whitey's house, and now it's just down. I've been there for months now, and my ex-husband is gone, and it's Bud, the guy who ended up was the drummer for Sublime, Whitey and I, and we're just running this speed operation, which was the weirdest thing. But I'm sort of codependent. We're like, Darren, his real name is Darren. Like, Darren, I think you're doing too much. And why don't you take some Valium with that? And, you know, I'm trying to help him with this Valium problem. Anyway, so we're in this place and we get raided. We get raided by the cops. I freak out. I go in. I'm wiping off. I'm trying to clear out as much speed as I can while they're storming the building. It's all locked up. And it's just pathetic. He had pounds, big, massive quantities of speed. So we all get arrested. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I already have quite a few arrests at this point. I'm probably 23. And so we go to jail and everyone gets a wristband, right? I get separated from Darren and Whitey. But I don't get a wristband. No one gives me a wristband. I don't understand what's happening. The cops, when they're separating us the next morning, like I got sent to a different holding. I was getting sent to Sybil Brand, and the cop is really upset. I have no wristband. Everything started to get really strange. And I get in line at Sybil Brand, and they're sending me down. I'm going to go to court the next day, and I'm sure I've got these huge fucking charges, you know, possession with intent to distribute, and it's a lot of quantity. I have all these priors, and I go into Sybil Brand, and I'm standing there, and then they call my name. I've got my little bunk roll, I've got my little toothbrush, and they call my name, and I walk up, and you know, they O'Neill, yes, and they let me go. They say, you're free to go. They don't give me any more indication. They don't tell me what's going on, and I walk out of there completely free. So now Whitey would tell me that he's being followed, and he's got all these, you know, his dad was a police officer and with someone else, and he's got some strange connections. I always thought he was just super paranoid. I just thought he was really out of his mind. But so I get out, I call my mom again. She comes and picks me up from Sybil Brand. I go down to Paramount. I don't have a car. Oh yeah, I had a car, but I drive down to Paramount. Bud was released as well. And we're talking about this. What the fuck happened? I still have no idea why they didn't charge me, why they just released me, and they released Bud as well. So we end up going to court to watch Whitey's arraignment. Whitey gets arraigned and they let him go as well that day. Right. But he's got to come back. So Whitey sends me to his house, to the safe, to get some money out of the safe. I do all this stuff. And he said, be careful. I'm sure the place is being watched. Right. So I go and I do this and I do this, I drive around and I drive up to the valley. And he gets a hotel room at the Holiday Inn, the round one off of the 405. I think it's a Holiday Inn. He gets this hotel room and I drive to go see him. I bring him his money, his stuff. And, you know, I'm completely tripped out about what's happening. And he said, you know, I made sure it's going to be okay. And I'm thinking, sure you did, Whitey. Sure you did. I'm sure you really sacrificed yourself to save Bud and I. And he said, no, just be careful because I'm sure you're being followed. Yeah, sure I'm being followed. And I leave there and I'm driving on the 405 and I get pulled over. I'm not in my car. As I said, I don't have a driver's license. I don't have any of the stuff. The cops pulled me over and they knew my name. They knew where I had been. I mean, I was being followed and they just said, are you sure there's something you want to tell us? Nope, there's nothing I want to tell you. And they let me go again. And to this day, I have no idea what really happened.
Wow. Does that ever work?
when they say, "You sure there's not something else you want to tell us?"
Oh, well,
you know what's
now
funny?
Now that you mention
now
it,
now that you mention it, yeah, I do want.
No, well, they always try to hit you with the, "If you tell us yourself, then it'll make it then a lot." Then they're a lot easier.
I think I tried that once.
Right, motherfucker. Yeah. Nice try.
Did you guys know? I have one other little funny thing that made me. Did you guys ever go to the Mousetrap?
I did.
You remember the Mousetrap?
I did. I went there.
I did.
Dude, when I was like, I mean, fuck, that place I think shut down. Like, I'm fucking 33, you know? I think I was like 15 when I went there on Pico. Yeah.
On
Pico. Pico and Hauser.
Pico, basically Pico and Crenshaw all around that area were a bunch of these places, and one of them was the Mousetrap. That was the original one. And I remember, like, I never went to the Mousetrap. It was, but everybody used to say, "Oh, Jack Nicholson goes there, Nicholson goes there," and you know, like, da da da. And I was like, "Oh, fuck, I want to go over there and do coke with Jack Nicholson." Bet you he and I have a lot to talk about. And so we found, but I never got over there. And then by the time I guess I was blow age, I there was another place, you know, and that place had closed. And there was a place called Joe T's. Do you remember Joe T's?
It sounds familiar.
Joe T was a little dude, like a short black dude who had the deepest, most raspy voice, and it was so good. He was like, "Seriously, like, I'm Joe T." You know? And I can't even do it right, but he was so fucking awesome. And you'd go in, and it was like, it was a house, and there were like tables set up, and there was a jukebox, and there was a bar, and there were multiple rooms, and they just turned it into a club, right? And so, and I had been there many times. I was there one night when, in fact, here I am sitting at Joe T's, and I was there one night. I was hanging out with Andy Dick. I remember that. and he was hoovering my cocaine. And I got a little snippy with him. I was like, "Really? You're the big fucking TV guy. And what are you doing my cocaine for? I'm busted. I can't get arrested, you know?" And I'm like, what's the deal?" And he was like, "Oh no, give me a little bit more of that." Da, 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 da. And he said something about how his wife and he did it all the time. And I was like, "Wife?
Yeah, you got a wife on here, right?"
Listen, you're the guy on Spin City, right? You're that guy, right? Not the guy who was in, and you're not the one who was, the fellow who was in Kids in the Hall, and you're not Stephen Root. You're that other guy, right? So we would sit around and we'd go to Joe T's. It was fun. And then, oh God, it's the best. You'd have to go to the kitchen. And there'd be a woman in the kitchen, and she'd be sort of mixing a huge mound of cocaine, kind of fluffing it and mixing it with playing cards. And you'd say, I'll take one or two or whatever. And they would give you a CD case, like a CD case. And then and they put your amount of coke on it. It was like $25, I think, for half gram, maybe. It was fucking cheap. This was like when no one wanted to do coke. It wasn't happening in LA for a minute. Everybody was doing speed and heroin, and it was just like, it was not, no one was doing blow, so they couldn't give the shit away. And you know me, a man who appreciates a bear market, was taking advantage of it. So I go and you get your coin, and they give you that, and they put a playing card on it, and you'd cut it up and do your thing with the playing card, and like your straw was your own design, you know, your own design. And one night we were there, and my friend just fucking goes totally ghost pale, and I remember thinking for a second, I was like, "Oh God, is it bad? Is this bad? Like, is this booger sugar bad and we're going to die? Because you look awful." And it was two just fully uniformed, like LAPD, like beat cops. Like, I don't know what a beat cop, it was like out of fucking Adam 12. These motherfuckers come in and they're just like, just walk right past everyone and come in.
and stay for about 5 minutes, and the music goes off and the room stays totally silent, and then they just walk out and leave. And I was like, that's the drop. They come and there you go. That's how this place gets to operate, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, and that I'd known. I'd just, again, I'd come from the East Coast. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, this makes sense. Like, we're safe. We're great. This is great. And my friends were all like, we're going to get out of here. I'm like, what are you talking about? The cops just came and left. Like, this is when you want to be here. No one can touch him. He just paid the fucking money. So no one
so we do our time. Da, da, da. It was another time where actually Joe came out and said to the room, everybody's got to go. You can come back here in 45 minutes. And I was like, oh, no. And I'm like, yeah, that's when you don't go back in 45 minutes, right? So one night we go there, and there was a kid who was working there, and his name was Zach, and he used to work the door, and he was really nice, and he knew, like, me and my friends, and he would always let us in. He'd always let us to the front of the line. He was great. And so I guess he went off and started another side thing, and was persona non grata on this as of this evening, right? And me and a buddy of mine who's an actor, so I won't say his name. We go there and we see Zach's not at the door, you know? And there was another place that had popped up called the King Club that was up in some like driver's ed classroom room. And I got propositioned there by a mother daughter prostitute team. They were like, will you walk us to our truck? And I'm like, where you will slit my throat? No, I won't do that tonight. You're not both just so attracted to me. You want to leave all this coke and go outside and have sex in a truck? Fuck yourself. So I come on. I'm not stupid. So me and my pal walk up and we're like, oh, where's Zach? And he's like, and that was not cool, you know? And there was this new dude, Larry, who I got to know. And Larry was like, Zach's not here no more, you know? Zach's not here. No, he didn't have the deep voice. He was just like, Zach's not here anymore. God damn it, he's not here. And I was like, oh, well, we come. Maybe is he just... And he's like, yeah, he's not with us anymore. Zach's not here. He's no friend. He's no friend. He's no... And I was like, oh, shit, well, stop bringing up that. And so we're like, oh, no, but we're cool. We've been here a bunch of times. Like, it's totally cool. We're not with Zach. We're just... here to, you know, go in there and see all that. There's people in there doing all that cocaine in there. We want to do what they're doing. And the guy was like, oh, man, I don't know. You guys look like cops to me. And I'm like, that's not true. I do not look like someone. I don't look like a cop. Or I'm the best undercover job ever. And my buddy, we do not look like cops. We look like a couple of fucking out-of-work actors. And so we're waiting, and he's giving it back to us, and we're like, no, 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 no. My one buddy just starts getting serious, and he's just like, no, man, I'm cool. No, I'm cool. And I'm like, oh, all right, let's do this. And he's just like, no, but I mean, like, I've been here so many times. I know Zach. I know. And we're like, stop bringing up Zach. And he's like, I know the nice guy, the guy who serves the drinks, the nice guy. And he, we can see him in there. And he was just this dude who was always very quiet. And he used to serve drinks, right?
He would bring over the drinks.
And you'd tip him. And I was like, my buddy's like, oh, and I know the nice guy who serves the drinks. He's like, and I know Joe T. And then out of the darkness comes Joe T. And he's behind the screen door. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that's Joe T. And he looks at it, he goes, I'm Joe T. And I don't know you. And my buddy looks at me, he's like, I know you, man. And he's just like, ah, man, get rid of him. And so we had to then, we're like, Larry, no. Larry, no, we're not the bad guys. We're not. He's like, he's got a bad vibe about you. You know, you guys are cops. And I'm like, I'm not. And he's like, we're actors. And my buddy says, he's like, no, I'm an actor. And he goes, what have you been in? And he tells him a couple of things he's been in. And he's just like, I ain't seen that shit. And then he goes, and he's like, you're an actor, huh? You an actor? Show me a SAG card. And I'm like, oh shit. And I don't have my SAG card on me. And my buddy does. And he's just like, I got it. I got my SAG card. And he's fucking, it was the most a SAG card's ever gotten anybody. And he holds it up and he's just like, I got my SAG card. He's so fucking excited. And I'm looking at him like, they're going to let us in. Like, there's no way. It's so clear to even me that this is meant to be. And he hands Larry his SAG card. So Kurt looks and he goes like, believe that shit. Well, all right, come on in. He hands it back to him. And we go in and we, you know, we, yeah, had some fun. That was it.
So good.
Yeah, that was a good one. So it's don't let anyone tell you being an actor doesn't pay. It does.
Man, the LA after hours scene used to be so cool.
It was great, man.
There was this place called Firehouse. Did you ever go to Firehouse? The dance hall place.
No, I never did go to Firehouse.
Yeah. Firehouse. It was like kind of by Roscoe's on what's that, Gower? Is that Bronson or Gower? I can never get it.
Gower.
Yeah.
Oh, Gower. Up in like Hollywood.
Yeah, in Hollywood, yeah.
Oh no, I don't know.
And it was like strictly dance hall, like Jamaican family owned and operated. And it was this dude named Faya and his wife and his son. And his wife was like a travel agent. She was like a travel agent. They would always be trying to like sell me on like these like vacations that they're going on. They're like, we're going to Jamaica. You come with us. No. And I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, let's do it. And I somehow like met their kid because like just smoking weed like randomly somewhere. And he was like, oh, he's like, my parents have a, he was like the nicest dude, you know? And he was like, oh, my parents have an after hours. You should come by. You like reggae? And I was like, dude, I love reggae. Like I'm a fucking dumb stoner kid, you know? I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. And I get there and it was like, you know, it was like cool and hip, but it was kind of a scary place, you know, like you would walk in and like they would like when they pat you down, like the dude at the door would pat you down and you don't know if you should be paying them or they should be paying you after this fucking pat down because you're like, whoa, like this motherfucker just frisked me in places I didn't even know existed, you know. And then you get in there, you get through the door. And there's like a dude walking around with a machete. Like that's a security guard. No and you're way. Like, whoa. And at first you don't know that like that, you know, you're like, oh fuck, this is just a machete. They're like, how the fuck did he sneak that in there after the pat down I just got? And I was hanging out with, fuck it. I'll, you know what? I'll just,
get that machete in here.
I'll just, you know what? Fuck it. I'll say the guy's name. So I was hanging out with Andy Milanakis, you know, like we were friends and we would fucking go and party. Shit. And
I know Andy.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, I was like, yeah, and we're like, you know, we're out in Hollywood and partying. And he was like really good friends with my ex-girlfriend, whose name was also Danny, which is just weird in itself, you know. And Danny and Danny, oh, double D's, yeah, so dumb. And so then one night we're like
doesn't
hanging
sound
out.
Dumb.
So we're hanging out and there was like, whatever, we're at some bar club and it shuts down. And he's like, man, like, I really just want a drink and whatever. And I'm like, dude, you like fucking dance hall? And Andy's like, yeah, I fucking love dance hall. I'm like, I got the fucking spot, you know? So we go and we go to Firehouse, you know? And they had this drink there. It was like, they're infamous for this fucking beverage called the, it was, it had two names. It was either the Firewata or or the Crush Cup. And the reason it's called the Crush, it was this Jamaican white rum. And right after you drink it, you crush the cup in your hand. It's because that's how fucked up it is. Because you're like, oh, I can't believe I just drank that shit. This is fucked, you know? It was like literally like ever, you know, Everclear. I don't know. Like it was fucked up.
There are like overproofed, crazy, crazy Jamaican rums, like Ray and Nephew and that shit that's like 140 proof that are, and I've had, you do, they are puzzling.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's the
yeah.
best.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. You know, so Firewater. So we get there and it's dance hall and it's whatever, you know, and it was like a cool spot and Andy's like, man, this is so fucking great. I love this, you know? And Faya's like running the bar, you know, and like and the kids, like the moms, like at the walking around, making sure everybody's cool. It was such a like a cool, friendly family vibe. I love that place, you know? And I take, you know, and I'm like, oh, fucking, I take Andy to the bar and I'm like, yeah, what's up? You know, this is my friend Andy. And And Fire looks at me, he goes, man, he's like, who's your lesbian friend you brought with you? <laughs> <laughs> And I'm like, no. And I'm like, fuck it. Like, Andy's already drunk enough where he's like, yeah, you know, he's like smoking a blunt, whatever, you know. And I was like, all right, two crush cups. And he goes, one for you and the nice lady. And I'm like, no. He's an actor. He's like, yeah, whatever, you know. And he fucking gives us the cups, you know. And we drink the crush cups. And Andy's like, fuck, that's fucked up. And he's like, here, I'm going to give the actress another one for free. One on the house, you know. So we drink another one and we party. We go back to the house, you know, and what it, like, whatever. We're just like, I don't know how we made it back, you know. I was like one of the, oh, we were living on Beachwood. We probably walked, you know. It wasn't that bad of a walk. And I wake up in the morning and Andy's just sitting there, like, just fucking completely just super bummed out, you know, like, just bummed out. Not a dude that really gets bummed out, you know. Right. He's like, man. And I'm like, what happened? You know, what's up? And he's like, fuck, I really messed up last night. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, well, I don't know. Whatever we drank there really, like, fucked me up. And I guess in my sleep, I pissed on your couch. You know, I peed myself on the couch. Oh, yeah, whatever it happens. He's like, no. But then I woke up and I was like, fuck, I can't sleep in my own peace. So I moved to the love seat and then I peed myself on the love seat. Oh, and he goes, but hey, I'm going to make this right. Like, we're going to a furniture store right now. No. We literally took a cab to a furniture store. Motherfucker bought us two brand new couches delivered by the end of the day. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
He can come to my house.
I know. I got some shit he could piss on. To replace it.
Come over and piss on my bed.
I have a quick one. We're actually, it wasn't Whitey I was thinking of, but when Gabby said that name, I had a Paramount experiment. Paramount is fucked up, first off.
And what's the deal? I'm going to ask for some clarification on that for the uneducated. What is the place?
Paramount is a city that kind of connect. Matter of fact, this place where I thought Gabby was, I'll leave his last name out of it, but this guy Davey lived there, and I was probably like 24, and the minute Gabby said Chop Shop, I'm like, fuck, she was at Davey's house. And Davey lived at a place called Woodworks, okay? And it was right on the border where Paramount connects to Compton and Long Beach. They all connect right there. And it's like an industrial area, but there's a Craftsman house. And when you went through the Craftsman house, there's a big fucking yard. And I mean big. It had to be 10,000 square feet. And there was just fucking cars. There was like a flatbed trailer with all this like Rancho suspension, you know, like fancy shocks and shit. You knew, you're like, there's a lot of stolen shit here, right? The first time I went was in the daytime, and I met him from this biker, this guy at a motorcycle club where I'm from named Rocky. And I was probably like 23 or something, 24. And Davey was cool, but there was this like, I mean, you've never seen anybody, like he was into everything. So he had a chop shop, he was cooking speed, like anything you can imagine. Like if it's against the law, he's into it. But like, I can't remember where, but one time Rocky's like, hey, go to the store with Davey, you know, and he's like, fucking. So I go to Vons or whatever with Davey, we're going to get beer or some shit. We come out and he had this giant fucking key ring with all these Chevy keys, you know, like the old ones. So where one's round for the doors, one's square, oh, right? Yeah, he had just shitloads of the round ones, right? And he would tell me, he goes, I'm like, why are you carrying all these fucking keys? I'm talking like the ring was this bigger than a CD and covered with keys, right? But he goes, they can only make so many different fucking keys. You know what I mean? And I'm like, fuck, good point. You know, but like, you know, like we're high and shit, but we go to the grocery store and shit, and we come out and he'd throw me the keys and be like, I'll meet you back at the house. You know what I mean? Because he'd see a El Camino or, you know, white boy shit, any kind of Chevy basically. But like, you know, an El Camino or a fucking
Silverado.
Yeah, what any like, and so then I went to a liquor store with another time, same thing. He stole another, like he beat me back to the house one time. Like he throws me the keys, and by the time I got in the car, turned the car on and drove it back to Woodworks, he was already there. In that time, he had stolen a car from the same parking lot and beat me back to the house. That's how amazing he was. Yeah, but after like the third time, you know, Rocky's like, hey, go with Davey. And I'm like, yo, man. I'm like, fuck, man. I'm on parole, man. Like, I like Davey, but god damn, man. Like, every time we go somewhere, he's stealing a fucking car. He's like, that's his thing, man. I'm like, I know, but it ain't my fucking car. Like, god damn, man. It's like, so finally, where it Woodworks at, oh, sorry, Davey gets busted, right? And his Davey's girlfriend and her kid were at this house. So it's this little Craftsman house. Like I said, it's Craftsman house. That's all these fucking cars. I mean, it had to be 40 cars back there and the flatbed trailer and just other shit. You know, like you could build a hot rod out of the fucking thing. But Rocky calls me and he's like, come over. I'm like, all right. So I shoot over there and he's like, you like to fight? I'm like, yeah, sure. Absolutely. I'm from Covina, you know? And he's like, he's like,
we got to go to Woodward Works. These fucking dudes won't leave the house. And Davey Zolay's there. I'm like, fuck, word. You know, so we get in the car and we fucking fly down from Covina to Paramount. And Rocky had this, it was a dually, but it was a two-door dually pickup truck, a Chevy, right? So we fucking fly down there and we go. It's kind of crazy when I think about it, but you know, when you're trying to be a fucking outlaw or whatever, we walk into that fucking, I mean, in another neighborhood, who knows what the fuck is lurking, but we come in there and we fucking, you know, like, the guys left pretty easily, but you know what I mean? We went in there like, listen, like, you're either going or we're smashing. You know what I mean? And there's like fucking four of them, but they bounce or whatever. So then we're there at night and Rocky's talking to Davey's old lady who was super sweet or whatever. And then he's like, hey, he goes, I'm going to put new leaf springs, those flat things. Yeah. He goes, there's a trailer full of brand new like suspension shit. He goes, hey, I'm going to put new leaf springs on my pickup truck. You know, and I'm spun on speed. There's all these old cars and shit. You know, and I'm just like, fuck, that works. You know, like, sometimes a motherfucker needs new suspension. Who am I? You know, like, whatever you want to do, right? But at the same time, I even had a thought, because for a biker, you know, they can usually fix anything. And him and I were running hard, but like, he wasn't a very mechanically capable biker, which is a rare fucking thing. He's a legendary fucking biker. Like, everybody from every motorcycle club knows him, but... And so he pulls his truck in the back and he jacks it up and he starts putting on new leaf springs from this trailer or whatever. But then it's like, I go, somebody knocks at the door. So I go answer the fucking door and it's like these cholos and they got like a welder or some shit. And they're like, yo, anybody want this? Fuck. I'm like, fuck. No, not because just everything's going down there. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So then these three Crips show up and they got a Volvo, like a brand new Volvo, right? Jesus. And I'm like, I'm like,
Cholos and three Crips walk into a
bar. Yeah. But sorry, it was two Cholos. And then the three Crips came later. The three Crips come later, like, yo, man, who wants this Volvo? And Rocky's talking to him. He goes, what the fuck I want with a Volvo? You know, and they're like, and they go, man, it'll go 160 fucking miles an hour. And I'm like, oh, fuck, man. Like, I realize I'm like, everything is going down at this place. You know what I mean? Davey's old lady's in bed. And next thing you're like, it'll go 160. Rocky's like, that shit won't go 160 miles. Cut to, it's Rocky in the passenger seat, a Crip in the front seat, and me squished between two Crips in the back seat, flying on the Long Beach freeway, trying to go 160. Fucking 3 a.m. I'm like, fuck, this is, because I know Rocky ain't going to buy the car anyway. We go back. He goes back to switching the leaf springs and whatnot. And we're there all fucking night, as you can imagine. So we go, and then we're finally going to go home. It's like probably 7-8 in the morning. So we get in this pickup and we head out and we're driving and shit. And he goes, does it feel any smoother? I'm like, ah, fuck, I can't really tell. You know what I mean? Then he gets on the fucking highway. And dude, the minute he went, I'm going to say over probably 45 or maybe 50, the whole fucking truck starts shaking side to side. And I mean, like, dude, the cab is shaking separately from the bed. Like, we're bouncing. Like, I'm like, dude, what the fuck? You know, and he's like, no, I don't know. I'm like, dude, what the fuck, man? This is bumming me out. Like, we got fucking, you know, 30 miles to drive in a fucking sketchy ass pickup. Me and a dude in a motorcycle club. And this fucking truck just shook the whole way. So I guess he had put either the wrong size leaf springs or some shit, or put them on upside down. But dude, the whole fucking ride home, just shaking like a fucking jackhammer. Both of us. People staring at us and shit. There's no real more to that story, except for we make it back to Covina. I get busted about 2 months later. I'm in the county, and I'm in there with some dudes, like the dudes Gabby was hanging out with. And there's a dude named Whitey, and these Paramount Stoners dudes who are all like, you know, dudes in prison gangs. And I'm talking to them, and they're like, I'm like, where are you from? They're like, Paramount. I'm like, oh, man, I was just in Paramount, you know? And they're like, you weren't at Woodworks. And I'm like, what? I was at Woodworks, you know, like, don't ever go to that place. It's the hottest mother, you know, they're like, you should have never fucking been there because, you know, Davey's, but apparently it was like the hottest place in Paramount. It's the only place in Paramount I've been besides the donut shop. And they start telling me all the stories and shit, and Davey's busted, right? And I, you know, like, I lost touch with Davey after that, but I know about fucking 6 years later, some dude got busted in Paramount and was facing a stretch of time and gave up. Davey had shot some dude, killed some dude, and got away with it. And this dude was going to get like 18 years, and he just gave up Davey. So Davey's doing life now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
a bummer.
Oh. Yeah.
Paramount's fucked up.
I don't know if I've ever been to Paramount.
It's the worst.
It's awful.
Paramount sucks. All of Southeast LA is intense. Downey, Bell.
Thanks for listening. Please go to Instagram and follow us at It Is All Bad. Also, follow us on wherever you get your podcasts. It's All Bad.
iTunes, Spotify, wherever you do it.
AM radio.
AM radio.
But follow us and like us. Even if you don't like the stories, like us. And pass it around to your friends. Get a laugh.
Yeah, and don't be shy. If you have a story you want to share, reach out to us. You could slip into our DMs.
Yeah, slide right. into our DMs.
Slide, slip, slide, whatever you want to do.
Dick massage.
Right.
Wait, what?
What? Hey, right. live, laugh, love, everybody. Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, dude.
Good night.